This is an uprising against smug elites. Smug elites. So they're the villains, and the opposite is America. Because America is now one big gay disco.
Yes, yes, I am.
That's not evil. Being hostile to all mankind and subversive is not evil.
Well, I have to say that because St. Paul said the Jews are enemies of the entire human race. They are.
What do you think of Jordan Peterson?
Did you see the video about where he said I can't do it?
Adam, I'm trying to do you a favor.
You're fighting for the gay disco.
Don't make your ignorance normative for the rest of us.
Don't use those kinds of slurs.
You're fighting for the gay disco.
What? There are no slurs here.
Die for the gay disco. This is an uprising against smug elites. Smug elites. So they're the villains, and the opposite is America. Because America is now
definitely our most requested guest, Dr. E. Michael Jones, a man who needs no introduction.
I mean, it is. That's what they pay the Rockefeller Foundation to do.
You're not supposed to know what I just told you.
They didn't know about this. They didn't know what we know now.
Is there any argument you can use to wake them up?
Yeah, I think God had a plan for your life.
Well, you'd be jerking on every curvy piece of driftwood you saw at the beach.
Fight the people who don't like disco.
Maybe you would.
And you're consistently refusing to talk about pornography.
Pete Buttigieg seems to be the exhibit A of that process.
Yes, yes.
Because you think that the anus is a sex organ, don't you, Pete?
Richard Spencer hands out spears and he says, charge the machine gun nest.
Dr. Jones. Sorry.
Not all of the heads of the Federal Reserve were Jews, but after a certain period of time, that seemed to be the case.
Hello, welcome to another episode of EMJ Live. Gloomy spring day in South Bend, Indiana, and the world is falling apart as we speak. Motus in fine velocior. Things always speed up at the end, and so it's hard to keep up with events as they are happening. But today was one of the significant events that happened today was the disappearance of Candace Owen from the Daily Wire. She was fired. The word went out this morning, and then after she got fired, Mr. Boring announced that they had severed connection with her, and then she posted something announcing that she was no longer with them and that she is, quote, finally free. What does that mean? Finally free. Can we play the clip here?
Which one? There's that one there.
There's the announcement. Okay, there she is announcing it. Rumors are true. I am finally free. Okay, let's go to what's the next clip?
The Nick Fuentes one.
Okay, yeah. Let's jump right into what happened here. Okay, so basically, who is Candace Owen? She's a black conservative. Okay, and we know that's an oxymoron because all black people are liberals. That's the legacy of the civil rights movement. They've all been part of the Democratic Party for so long, nobody can imagine them being part of anything else. But over the period of the later 20th century, a new group of blacks began to emerge, the black conservative. Thomas Sowell was one. I don't know whether you remember Alan Keyes. Alan Keyes showed up on the scene right around the time of Pat Buchanan. He was Bill Kristol's roommate, which led people to become suspicious. It turns out that he appeared anytime Pat Buchanan was running for office, and a lot of people thought he purpose, even though he could give great right to life speeches, his purpose in life was basically to steal votes from Pat Buchanan. So it's a slot that's already been reserved. It's an accepted part of political discourse in the United States. And Candace Owen signed up. She was going to be the female Black conservative. And she started talking about things that many people already talked about before. For example, she started talking, even recently, she was talking about the Black family and the destruction of the Black family, which is, you know, it's true. She's referring to the Moynihan Report of 1963. I don't think she mentioned that specifically, but that's when the Irish man who eventually became senator realized that Black illegitimacy rate was 21% and tried white illegitimacy rate was 7% at that time. And he wanted to reverse it by jobs. The establishment wanted to reverse it by extinguishing the Black race through contraception and then abortion. And the endeavor failed, but it remains in the memory of people like Candace Owen. So I'm glad she brought that up. But times have changed. This is the problem here. Nothing stands still. And so what seemed to be a stable position maybe during the Reagan era and even after that, it has disappeared. It has disappeared. And what we saw today was the final disappearance of, what shall we call it? Conservatism. Ben Shapiro blew up conservatism. Now, this has been coming for a while. Ever since the attack on Gaza, Ben Shapiro has been ranting daily, justifying Israeli war crimes in a way that no conservative of any principle could support. If you can't support something as basic as the moral law and thou shalt not kill, especially when it comes to innocent women and children, what then is the basis of your conservatism, Ben? And it turns out it was Zionism, pure and simple. Well, wait a minute, that's not conservatism. That's something else. And so it kind of went along in this kind of contradictory position until finally it caught up with Candace Owen. I'm going to go out on a limb here. I know other people feel differently about this, but I don't think she wanted this fight at all. I think she wanted to be the House, what should I say, Black conservative at the Daily Wire and wanted to talk about family issues and culture wars issues and so on and so forth. But she was superseded by the zeitgeist in the form of Rabbi Shmuley Botik. Okay, this is the thug who is the great enforcer of Jewish belief on the population at large. And he and his daughter, who were engaged in the sex business, selling dildos and stuff like that, attacked Candace because Candace supported Kanye West when he came out and said that he had a Jewish trainer that was trying to drug him and separate him from his family. He also announced that he was going DEFCON 3 on the Jews. Nobody understood that. I still don't understand what that means. But anyway, the Jews didn't like it. And at this point, I think I got the chronology straight. Rabbi Shmuley went after Candace because Candace had contracted ritual taboo, this is a Jewish crime, sin, by contact, by defending Kanye. Okay, there was nothing, we can't have Black solidarity here. And so he went after her. And at a certain point, she started to push back against him, saying that he was disgusting because of the sex business that he was in. And at this point, the ADL got involved and so on and so forth. And as a result, she decided to, well, I'll clear my name. One of the guys that got involved was another rabbi. And during this period of time, the rabbis have not distinguished themselves as great thinkers or orators. And so when she had him on, this is what happened. Let's play the clip of Candace and the rabbi. Now, just another wrinkle here. This is Nick Fuentes commenting on Candace talking to Rabbi Barkley. Okay, so this is another wrinkle, because now Candace later said, I don't know who Nick Fuentes is, but she had contracted another bad dose of ritual impurity because Nick Fuentes commented on her. So I know it's arcane, but hey, it's Jewish, and this is arcane stuff. But anyway, here's the clip that Nick posted.
Mr. Schwartz is attacking you. If he is attacking you on any personal way, that doesn't mean it's okay for you to attack him. You know better than that.
Okay, stop.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So this is the rabbi informing, what should I say? The dumb goy? The dumb shiksa? Is she a shiksa or is she a schwarza? I don't know. But this is really, the rabbi is informing her that if a Jew attacks her, she's not allowed to defend herself, which he describes as attacking him. Well, this elicited a burst of laughter from Nick Fuentes, as you can see. Okay, continue.
They're so evil. She goes, yeah, he's been attacking me for 2 years. Yeah, but you can't attack him back. You know better than that. You know better than that, you dumb goy. You don't know anything about our religion. If he was attacking you, then, well, that's something. But you can't attack him back. They're so rotten.
Better than that.
No, I actually, like, everything I'm saying about him, like, if this is holy, like, you know, selling butt plugs
crying
with your daughter,
I
don't know. Okay, you're right. I think it's gross. Right, I think it's disgusting. So, and I do not, it's not the definition of holy in the Christian faith, is what I would say.
Let's go.
It's weird
let's
to go. Me. Okay. It's very weird. And this could be a difference in our religions. But by the way, your religion does not trump my religion.
Okay, so stop. At this point, conservatism just blew up. Okay, it blew up because Candace, I think in spite of herself, framed the issue. There is no we here anymore. There is no we here. It's basically there are Christians and there are Jews. And the Jews are in a position where they get to impose their religion on Christians. And Candace doesn't like that. Well, this is the end of conservatism. Let me remind you that there are people out there like John Henry Weston of LifeSite News, who describes his operation as defending Judeo-Christian morality. Wait a minute. If there's ever an obsolete category now, it's Judeo-Christian, especially when it comes to abortion. This is LifeSite News. They're describing their mission in life in terms that don't make any sense anymore, because after Roe versus Wade got overturned, the Jews came out, 400 Jewish organizations came out and said abortion is a fundamental Jewish value. So we're done with this conservative fiction that Jews and Christians can unite on anything. Okay, we can't unite on abortion, and we can't unite on Zionism. That's A to Z because of the behavior of Netanyahu here in Gaza. This is the end of that collaboration. This is significant. This is significant. Play the rest.
His relationship with your religion does not trump my religion. So I think that you should respect the
let's go!
Unholy. I am referring to my religion. His relationship let's between go. Him and his daughter is very creepy to me. The sex podcast is very creepy to me. The idea of sitting down and talking to your father about, you know, topics of sex in any regard is creepy to me. Him promoting butt plugs that are sold by his daughter is creepy to me. I have a right to say that I find this to be utterly unholy, and that any faith leader, at least in the Christian community, would agree that all of this is giving us very weird vibes between the father and daughter relationship.
You're weird.
I can say that all I want. And I do think that part of it, and this is where we get to the topic of where people perceive this and they say, is this a form of Jew supremacy to say, suspend your Christianity because my Judaism matters more, is the feeling that I get
let's
when you
go.
Say, you don't get to say it's an unholy rabbi. Pornography is unholy, in my view. You might disagree with that. It's unholy.
Let's
to
go!
Christians, the topic of pornography, peddling pornography, selling butt plugs, you know, the commercialization of pornography is unholy. And I'm going to continue to call him unholy because that is what I deem him to be. And I say that as a Christian.
Okay. That's it. It's over. This, I don't know where this rabbi's coming from. I mean, but we need more rabbis like this to come on and explain the reality of the situation, which is that they are engaged in a fundamental violation of one of the tenets of America, the American civic religion, if you want to call it that, which is you're not allowed to impose your religion on me. If I'm a different religion, you're not allowed to do that. Well, that's exactly what the Jews have been doing. What do you think Roe versus Wade was? Wait a minute. That's not what they said back then. In 1973, if you discussed abortion, it was the Catholic Church trying to impose its views on everyone else. And the opposite side was never identified as Jewish. Bernard Nathanson was the opposite side at that point. And he was always described as a gynecologist or a representative of science and so on and so forth. So because of that, that was a fiction perpetrated by the New York Times, which was a Jewish operation, okay? And what the Jews did at this point is they imposed their religion. Abortion is a fundamental Jewish value. Abortion is a Jewish sacrament. We have a rabbi in Florida who's pursuing a court case right now saying if you ban abortion, if the government bans abortion, then they are preventing Jews from practicing their religion. This is what we know now. That's not what we knew in 1973. It's a whole different world. And it blew up that whole idea of America, which is basically you have a right to your religion. You do not have a right to your religion if your religion contradicts the Jewish religion. At that point, you have to subordinate yourself to a Jewish religion. That's exactly what Candace is saying here. That's exactly the issue. She refused to go along with this. And as a result, that's the end of conservatism. Because if we can't agree on abortion, for example, if we can't agree on fundamental tenets of the moral law, like thou shalt not kill, either by abortion curette or by F-16, okay, there's no basis for that. And if we can't do that, there's no basis for America either. Because John Adams said we have no constitution that functions in the absence of a moral people. Conservatism was always based on the idea that there has to be some type of moral consensus in this country. And more or less, we had a moral consensus until the Jews took over our culture. And now we're dealing with the consequences of that takeover. 73, abortion, if you want to call it, you can date it wherever you want, but abortion is a fundamental milestone in the Jewish takeover of our culture. And now it's out in the open, and now Candace is not going to go along with it. Now, this has consequences that need to be brought out, okay? So this is what I tweeted. I'll give you the summary statement, okay? After getting fired from Ben Shapiro's platform, The Daily Wire, Candace Owen announced that she is finally free. Free from what became apparent during her interview with Rabbi Barkley when she refused to allow his Judaism to trump her Christianity. Once again, the Jews have overplayed their hand. In firing Candace Owen, The Daily Wire and Ben Shapiro just blew up conservatism. The conflict between liberalism and conservatism has been replaced by the conflict between those who accept total Jewish hegemony over our culture and those who do not. That is the fundamental reality, political reality in America, and no politician is addressing this reality. Not one. That is the fundamental issue. Who determines our foreign policy? You have John Mearsheimer talking about how the Jews control our foreign policy with regard to Israel. You have all kinds of people talking about this type of stuff. This is the fundamental issue of our day. Max Blumenthal gave a speech He portrayed it in slightly different terms, but he said Gaza is the fundamental issue of our day. One day, your grandchildren are going to ask you, where did you stand on Gaza? Did you support the genocide in Gaza? In the same way that now people will say, well, where did you stand when the Nazis took power, and so on and so forth. This is the fundamental issue of our day. Do we have all these rights? Do we have the rights that are guaranteed by the Constitution? Or do we have rights that are only granted by the Jews? Now, this is something that became an existential issue for Candace Owen, and she dealt with it. And we're going to explain how she dealt with it right now. Play the third clip.
That, but something that I never shared and I want to share today was what happened thereafter. Now, a friend of mine who I am not going to name encouraged me to.
Thereafter means after the Kanye thing, after the Shmuley Boutique attack, all this type of stuff. That's just to contextualize it. Go ahead, play.
Visits the Simon Wiesenthal Center. That's a human rights organization, human rights for Jews organization. And there was this very strange meeting that occurred. And I want to be clear that I didn't understand the meeting because the individuals were speaking in Hebrew. My understanding going into it was that once I spoke to this individual, things would be clarified, and then I could just go on living, and my reputation would pretty much be restored. And by golly, that's kind of what happened. So again, it was an extremely old man. I think he runs the place. I don't know. I can't remember his name, so I'm not going to make one up. But I had to sit in a meeting and explain that I didn't think Hitler was a great person, listen to two people speak Hebrew, and then my reputation was restored, or at least I was allowed to go on pursuing what I wanted to pursue, which was just talking about Black Americans and the fracturing of the Black and white relationship. It's a very odd thing when I reflect on that.
Okay. Now, if you say that the Jews control people, or they control the media, or control people in the media, that's an anti-Semitic canard. Wait a minute. Isn't that what just happened here? So Candace now gets in trouble, and she's got this Jewish friend who's going to solve her problem for her. But in order to do that, she has to go to the Sanhedrin. This is the Sanhedrin. This is the same kind of group that condemned Jesus Christ to death. Okay? And now, if you want to have a voice on the internet, you have to grovel before the Sanhedrin. Well, I think that's why she told us that she's finally free. This was the condition. Now she goes on to say that it's not unconditional, that if I get out of line again, then they're going to something. Well, that's obviously what happened. So when I heard that, I'm thinking, gosh, I think I'll go to the Simon Wiesenthal Center and I'll get absolved by these Jewish rabbis so that I'll be in good standing. Well, it doesn't work that way. So if you're thinking about that, it's not going to work because it didn't work with Candace Owen. They came back at her anyway, even after she was absolved. As soon as she started talking about Kanye again, as soon as she got onto this other thing with Rabbi Boutique and then the other rabbi, the ADL came down on her and attacked her because Nick Fuentes talked about her. Well, wait a minute. She tweeted. She doesn't know who Nick Fuentes is. This is the type of arcane, Talmudic system of control that rules our lives. They have the right to destroy you if they don't like what you say. Who gave these people this right? Where is this? Where does the constitutional guarantee of freedom of speech stand in all this when this group of idiotic rabbis who can't even think straight, who have this attitude of total condescension because her, why? Because she's a Christian? Because she's Black, because she's a woman, whatever. You know, Candace, now listen carefully to what I have to say. This is ridiculous. Who gave these people the right to do this? Well, in some sense, we did by putting up with it. The hour is late. We're not going to put up with it anymore. Okay? So, as Holy Week approaches, we need to understand that it is time to take sides. Okay, this is the new paradigm. It's not liberal versus conservative. It's acceptance of Jewish control and rejection of Jewish control, just as it was then. You must now decide whether you're on the side of Jesus Christ, the Logos incarnate, or on the side of those who killed the Logos incarnate and have been subversive revolutionaries ever since. When the Jews who control the Daily Wire told Candace, put your chain on, nigga, Candace said, no thanks, and is now finally free. America needs to follow her example. Okay, that's my rant. Let's hear what you have to say.
Okay, hello all. Once again, happy Friday. This is Mike Bajakis, Dr. Jones' assistant. Quick rules for those who are new, who haven't joined us before. This is the call-in section of our program. Call-ins are made via our Telegram channel, links in description. In Telegram, I'm going to call on those who raise their hand. And then later in the stream, we'll read off the text questions from the various chats, Rumble, Cozy, what have you. Try to keep questions on subject. Try to keep the one question at a time. Be respectful of people's time. And do not, whatever you do, forget to unmute yourself. Let's jump to Telegram here and see who we got. I think Patrick C. had dibs. Go ahead, Patrick C.
Yeah, Dr. Jones, yes. are you aware of Candace Owens' husband, George Farmer, and his father, who is in the House of Lords and also deputy chair of the National Council of Christians and Jews? Also, George Farmer, who was married to Candace Owens, is a convert to Catholicism. Were you aware of that?
Yeah, I heard that. Yes, I knew English aristocrat who converted to Catholicism. I had heard that, yes. But thanks for filling in the other part. Go ahead.
I was going to say one thing about the National Council of Christians and Jews is that it was founded in 1942 by Queen Elizabeth. And I think possibly the death of Queen Elizabeth has really opened up a lot of this this new awakening to the Jewish problem. I'll let you thank you.
You're welcome. George Galloway just I don't really know, he was just elected to Parliament, a flaming critic of Israel, elected largely because there's a large Muslim population in Rochdale. Anyway, he said that Queen Elizabeth traveled all over the world, longest reign in sovereign in England, but she never went to Israel. And he said it was tacit admission or tacit recognition of the fact that Israeli terrorists killed a lot of British people when they blew up the King David Hotel. So these chickens, you're probably right that we have a different era now. And, it's falling apart. All of these constructions, these post-World War II constructions like Judeo-Christian and stuff like that, they're all falling apart because the Jews are destroying them. They are destroying the best deal that they ever had in human history. I'm talking about the welcome that the United States gave them, a despised minority throughout Europe, and the United States welcomed them. And if you want to know how they treated us, check out Jonathan Pollard, who said the Jews have a duty to betray the countries that have given them asylum.
Next, we have Dexter. Go ahead, Dex.
Hello, Dr. Jones. Thank you for taking my call, and thanks for making yourself available for this discourse.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to bring up the subject of the movie Cabrini, and about which an article was written in Catholic Culture, Cabrini secularizes a saint. And the author, I forgot his name now, but he mentioned that there was an individual on set, a screenwriter named Rod Barr, and that he was unable to determine Rod Barr's religious background. Well, I found an interview with Rod Barr where he could not, it seems like, contain his contempt for the Catholic faith on the set. But I wanted to see if you had any comments on the movie Cabrini.
No, I was in Florida. I was scheduled to see the premiere of Cabrini, and I got a flat tire and spent 5 hours on the highway in Florida waiting to get rescued. So I did not see it. I don't know. I keep thinking there must be a plan here. God has a plan for my life. His plan was to thwart me from seeing Cabrini. I don't know why, but I didn't see it. But I've read reviews about it, and so I'm not surprised that's going on here. Last week, we're talking about something that is pandemic here. I talked about the warning now that the Catholic Church is given to Catholics so that they hold their ears whenever the Gospel of St. John is being read, because if they listen to it, they might become anti-Semites. This is an outrageous interference into our religion as Catholics. And who is the author of this? Was it bishops? No, is there no bishop near this thing? The lady who's responsible or the spokesman for this is Rebecca Cohen. Well, that sounds Jewish to me. And here we've got exactly what Candace Owen is complaining about. Now, it could be that Rebecca Cohen has converted to Catholicism. Well, God bless her if she did, but she needs to stop acting like a Jewish commissar if she did, because conversion means conversion, which means you have to change your attitude and change the fundamental attitude that the Jews need to leave at the door if they come and when they come into the Catholic Church is attacking fellow Catholics as anti-Semites, or worse, claiming that the Gospel of St. John is anti-Semitic. So, yeah, it's a big problem. And Candace hit the nail on the head when she said to Rabbi Barclay there, don't impose your religion on my religion. You've got a different religion. That's your problem. Don't impose your religion on me. That should be the statement of every single Christian Catholic American in this country. We're tired of Jews imposing Jewish sacraments like abortion and genocide on the rest of us, and making us pay for it too.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. And I just have to comment also that I thought it was really insightful. You mentioned that it doesn't look like there's a single bishop anywhere near that document. And I think that their silence is really deafening right now. It just begs for a comment, at least a definition of the term anti-Semite from a Catholic perspective.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the same thing happened with the statement in the Bishop's Catechism, the Mosaic Covenant is eternally valid. When the bishops got to vote in secret, they condemned it as heretical, 240 to something or other, very small number. But then what happened? They handed it to the bureaucrats, people like Rebecca Cohen, and they slow walked it and put it. It took 15 years for them to put it into their own catechism. This is so the good news. It's good news, bad news. The good news is that the bishops do know church doctrine. The bishops have endorsed supersessionism. They are not going to endorse the statement that the Mosaic Covenant is still valid. But the bad news is they handed it over to the bureaucrats and didn't follow up. So we need to break the bishops out of this Babylonian captivity known as the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Dex. Moving on here, let's go to Adam Finnegan. Go ahead, Adam. And don't forget to unmute yourself. Are you there, Adam? Little button says unmute, because I got to unmute you, then you got to unmute you. Going once. Nope. Sorry, Adam. Maybe next time. Let's go to No Pretenders. Go ahead, No Pretenders.
Hello, Dr. Jones.
Yes.
It's an honor to speak with you. I hate to get off the Candace thing, but I would like to know your feelings on Martin Luther. I've read a lot of his stuff, commentary on Galatians, the Jews and their lies. And I find him to be a very heroic figure, but I know you don't share that view. And I'm wondering if you can give me a reference, something that might kind of flesh that out for me.
Yeah, you can read what I had to say. It's the last chapter in, no, it's not the last chapter. It's one of the chapters in Degenerate Moderns. So I wrote it a long time ago, 30 years ago. And basically, what was Martin Luther? He was a priest who could not control his passions. It's that simple. And so when, so whether it's anger or whether it's gluttony or whether it's lust, he just was, it was a losing battle. And at a certain point, he got discouraged. This was the point after he finally capitulated to his passion, to sexual passion. So he was in the business. The Reformation was women's liberation. What do I mean by women's liberation? The Lutheran thugs would break into convents and drag the nuns out and then pimp them to priests and bishops. And Luther wrote a letter to the bishop, Archbishop of Mainz, saying basically, you can have the prettiest nun of the lot as long as you become, go over to the Lutheran party or the Reformed party. So this is what he was. So it's bad enough when you break your vows, you break, they're both, he married a nun, Catalina von Bora. She broke her vows, vow of celibacy. He broke his vow of celibacy. And now they're united in this rebellion against the church. At that point, Luther finally ran up the white flag and capitulated to his passions and turned them into a theological virtue in his tract De Servo Arbitrio, or On the Enslaved Will, which basically said, I can't do it. It's God's fault. It's God's fault that I did all these things. I have no free will. Well, that was a disaster for Germany. Germany is still trying to get over that disaster. And that's my that's my take on Luther in a nutshell. If you want the full story, read buy a copy of Degenerate Moderns at fidelitypress.org and read all the other stuff that I have to say.
I definitely will get Degenerate Moderns. I've read several of your books.
Good. Good. Well, thank you.
And one last comment. I have an exact feel for what you're saying, but I'm wondering, I think a lot of Luther's reputation is kind of like the Holocaust narrative. My general take was it was exaggerated and not true.
Oh, you're right. I mean, it was a mythology. Luther was an important figure in Germany. He basically created the German language. His translation of the Bible created the German language. And so he's a figure. He also led to the creation of the Prussian state. That became Lutheran, being Protestant, all these type of things. So he's an important figure. His legacy is division. Germany has never gotten over, still hasn't gotten over the division that was created by the Reformation. And just as a reference, I may have talked, but anyway, there was a referendum in Ireland. I think the tide is turning in Ireland and that the Irish are coming back to the faith. And I've always said to the Irish, it's simple. The church is right down the street. You've left it a couple of years ago. Just go back, go to confession. And I think that they're doing that. They are doing that because there's a unity in Ireland that simply does not exist in Germany. And that's the problem. And I think that's the problem for any type of political reform in Germany. It's the problem that Hitler faced when he came to power. He said, I have to unify this country. How am I going to do it with, he tried to get the Protestants to sit down with the Catholic. He failed. And so he went and decided, okay, I'll do it with Wagner instead. And he came up with all this, you know, Nibelungenlied mumbo jumbo. It's still a problem today. It's a problem. It's going to be a problem in reform, the political reform in Germany. Are they ever going to have the power to get rid of this satanic suicide cult that is now in power there, that is driving the Germans to extinction? Can't even look into who blew up the pipeline. Can't, are attacking Ukraine, cutting off their energy. It's just a disaster. And it goes back to this lack of unity. That the Germans, which is the legacy of Luther.
All right. Thank you so much for that question. No pretenders. Moving on here. Let's go to top right Zoomer. Go ahead, top right Zoomer.
Hi, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, so a couple things. First, I do want to clarify, Candace said she didn't know Nick Fuentes. I believe she was just doing that. I think she kind of had to say that. I believe there's a clip of Nick Fuentes a while back saying that Kanye West told him that Candace told Kanye that Nick was trustworthy as opposed to Milo Yiannopoulos.
Okay.
So I just wanted to make that clarification. I think she was kind of playing a bit coy when she said that she didn't know Nick Fuentes.
Okay.
But besides that, I was kind of curious if you think now that she is no longer with the Daily Wire and kind of no longer has that restriction, that she will kind of start just like talking about things like the USS Liberty or, you know, how the ADL was founded, with the situation with Leo Frank and Mary Fagan.
This is an important question. This is really an important question, because what she's going to have to do is do a Tucker Carlson. She's going to have to, he succeeded. But the big issue with Tucker Carlson is, it's like the Sea World, you know, you got the killer whale that's so used to swimming around 80-foot circles. You put him out in the ocean and he's still swimming in 80-foot circles. So the question with Candace is, has conservatism colonized her mind to the point where she can't address reality, where she's the prisoner of obsolete categories? That's the question of Candace's mind. Now, I don't know her. I've never met her. And that's a question she's going to have to answer, because she can't just go back to being Alan Keyes all over again. You know, it's not going to work. That's an obsolete category. She's going to have to move forward, and she's going to have to accept the reality of the situation, which is basically the Jews kicked her out of the Daily Wire because she dared to criticize Jewish behavior. Well, that means that she's involved with the Jewish question. Now, is she going to be able to take that forward? Good question. I'd be happy to help, Candace. I've been at this for a long time now, 15 years. You were probably in diapers when I started this thing. And I'd be happy to send you a copy of The Jewish Revolutionary Spirit, which will explain how this whole Jewish question goes right back to the crucifixion, which is right up your alley as a Christian. I've heard rumors you're thinking of converting to Catholicism as your husband did. Well, I encourage you to do this because there is now a body of work that allows us to discuss the Jewish question without falling into racial categories or obsolete categories that will ignore the issue. So as I said, if she wants to move forward, she's got to get, okay, you're out of SeaWorld now, but don't go in the ocean swimming in the same 80-foot circles. You have to move on and come to the state of the art, understand what happened to you. You have to understand who you are, and you have to be able to identify the enemy, as Sun Tzu said. And if you can't do either one of those things, you will lose every battle.
All right, thank you, Top Right Zoomer. We'll do one more question here, and then we're going to jump to the chat. So you guys in Cozy, Rumble, whatnot, start typing in your questions. Let's do one more. I'm probably going to pronounce this wrong. Saucette Duval. Go ahead, Mr. Duval, if you are there. Don't forget to unmute yourself. Duval.
Hello. Hello, Mr. Jones. Dr. Jones, hello. This is Eve from France. Good. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Hello.
Hello. This is very strange because about the Candace Owens being fired from the Daily Wire. We heard from her in France eight days ago because she jumped on a French affair with a French scandal. With the Jean-Michel Trogneux also known as Brigitte Macron, the wife of the French president.
Right, yeah, right. And she said she was a man, right? Is that what happened?
Yeah, this is a story we heard about 2 years ago in Égalité Réconciliation, for example. And she jumped on this scandal and she said, wow, this is the biggest story of my life, of the humanity history or something like that. And she said she would put her job on the line to stand with this this scandal. And then 4 days 4 days after, she got fired from the Daily Wire. So in France, we make a connection, but as I got into this story a little bit deeper, I saw that there was this anti-Semitic culpability that was on her from the rabbi you talked about earlier. So that's a kind of a connection, a double connection. And to finish the story, Emmanuel Macron, the president, then decided to go full scale with the war with Russia and sent troops we say it's a kind of a hide, a way to avoid this scandal by putting another story on the media. You know what I talk about?
Sure.
Like
sure.
Clinton with Clinton with Yugoslavia and Monica Lewinsky affair. This kind of thing. Yes.
Yeah, I heard that before. That was a strange thing. She seemed convinced that she had the proof of this type of thing. And now that's all going down the memory hole. Nobody's talking about that over here. The only thing they're talking about is the rabbi. So I would wager that she could say anything about Macron's wife and her position would be secure. But maybe that contributed to it. But the sufficient condition, the real cause was her attack on the rabbis and basically exposing the fraudulent roots of conservatism. So I don't think it could have happened. Maybe it's more, I'm sure it's more important in France than it is over here, but it couldn't have happened without the attack on the rabbis.
The thing that when you talk about this story in France, which is a very strange, you are taxed of, you are labeled with anti-Semitism as well. You know, that's a strange connection the media make.
Well, she said to the rabbi in the discussion, he said if she uses the word hag, that's anti-Semitic. Anything's anti-Semitic now. So anyway, thanks for your comment.
Thanks a lot, Dr. Jones. Bye-bye.
All right. Question period going on right
Let's
now.
Let's go to the written questions.
Yeah, we got a lot for Rumble. Thank you, Rumble. We got 468. That's some type of record for us. So thanks, guys, on Rumble for paying attention to here at the E. Michael Jones headquarters here at the studio. Let's go. What do we got here first? From Jerry T30. How good would the country be if the Jews did not have control and power? Is there ever a way to break their control of virtually everything, but especially the government?
Well, you know, depends on where you want to start. One of the crucial events recently was Jeffrey Sachs writing a book about John F. Kennedy. He said that John F. Kennedy was assassinated. Well, obviously, we all know Kennedy was assassinated. He said it was a coup d'etat. And he said there hasn't been a president who's represented the people of the United States since that time. Nixon himself said that he resigned at Watergate because he didn't want to end up like Jack Kennedy. Now, Jeffrey Sachs is not claiming the Jews were involved, but everybody knows the Jews were fighting with Kennedy at this point because Kennedy didn't want them to get nuclear weapons. So if you can go back to there and try to imagine what the country would be like if John F. Kennedy weren't assassinated, if he had been able to make peace and end the Cold War with Khrushchev, if he had been able to break up the CIA for the criminal cabal that it is, I mean, that's a lot of stuff. So that's significant, but it's all hypothetical because we don't know. But now that we know, we have to start taking action. Now, the simple fact of the matter is that just as this is unraveling here on the internet, it's getting worse in the political sphere. So we have Kristi Noem, who is involved in an adulterous affair and apparently wants to cover over her tracks. She just passed this absolutely stupid, draconian, anti-Semitism hate speech bill in South Dakota. Wait a minute. How many Jews are in South Dakota? I think there are 347. Now, why is she doing this? Well, I think because, as I said, she wants to, doesn't want this blackmail or what's a, doesn't want bad press from the people who run the press. But she probably also has national ambitions and wants to be Sarah Palin 2.0. Sarah Palin 1.0, if you'll remember, was a creation of Bill Kristol, who was sailing up the Alaskan coastline with his Jewish friends and decided to pop in and visit Sarah Palin. And he was the guy who created her. So this is a pretty face. They both have pretty faces. I have to give them that. But they are total pawns of the Jews, as is the entire political apparatus, at the very same time that all of the categories that they're using are becoming obsolete in the minds of the people throughout the country. This is not going to work. The political system is totally out of sync with the rising consciousness above the population. Let me give you just one example here. This is Charles Moskowitz. Okay, I've debated him. I told Charles, look, I am not going to debate genocide. It's not a debatable topic. If you want to talk about it to your friends, that's fine with me. I'm not going to participate in that. And he got mad at me because of that. So anyway, this is probably in response to something I tweeted more recently. E. Michael Jones has always reminded me of a Jew, Leon Trotsky. I guess this is a compliment. I'm sure Trotsky is honored to be compared to E. Michael Jones. Leon Trotsky, who was a brilliant intellectual, a charismatic speaker, a great writer, but who was completely warped by communism. Wait a minute. Are you trying to say I'm a communist? This is ridiculous. This, if there's ever an example of an outmoded category, it is communism right now. What we're talking about is Trotsky, the Jew, Bolshevism is a Jewish movement, and so on and so forth. We have to break free of these obsolete categories. I'm talking to, you know, to Candace, break free of, if you really want to be really free, you have to get these categories, obsolete categories like conservatism, out of your mind. It was always a form of control. It was always a golden chain for black people, and a very small reservation, and that's all, you know, obsolete now. Okay. Next question. Sorry to take so long.
No problem. From Rumble, Bad 1212 asks, Jews and Masons have the same goals for the world. How are they related?
Okay, just read the chapter on Freemasonry in the Jewish Revolutionary Spirit, and you'll get the full story. When I started that chapter, the research, I thought this is a swamp. And I may never emerge from this swamp. I could see myself getting lost in there. Fortunately, Ann Barbo Gardner, who is a scholar of the late Ann Barbo Gardner, keyed me into crucial texts that made this simple for me. And the fruit is in the Jewish Revolutionary Spirit. So buy a copy and read that whole chapter on Freemasonry, because it's too long and complicated for a tweet or a question on Twitter. Or whatever what are we on? Rumble, Cozy, whatever.
A little bit of everything.
Okay, go ahead. Next question.
From Zach 1312, do you think Jews will just let power go like that? Do you see a bloody civil war coming to the U.S.?
Can you bring me my crystal? No, I don't have a crystal ball. Okay, so the only thing we have to go on when we try to understand the future is to look at the past, and the past is not encouraging. Okay, I've already talked to you about the beginning of the Jewish revolutionary spirit at the foot of the cross when they attacked Logos. Jesus Christ warned them, okay, the temple is going to be destroyed. Okay, they didn't listen to him. They crucified him, and then they rose up in rebellion, and they brought about the very doom that he predicted when the Romans came in and destroyed the temple. What was the Jewish reaction? They all went up to the top of Masada and committed suicide. This is not their Anthony Blinken or his father-in-law or stepfather was talking about this something heroic. Anthony Blinken, his stepfather said, climbed up Masada on foot. This is not encouraging. You don't want a diplomat who idolizes mass suicide. This is the problem when you're dealing with an irrational group of people. It leads to something like the Samson option, which is basically, if the Jewish state is threatened, we're going to take down everyone, even if it falls on us. This is in God's hands. The history is in God's hands. We have to pray that there is a peaceful end to the Zionist regime in Israel. We have to pray for that. It's happened in other places. Communism had a peaceful end. And of course, we betrayed the Russians by lying to them about NATO. But this is something we have to work on right now, because sooner it's ending. We are at the end times now. The American empire is ending, and when that goes, Israel is going to go as well. And let's hope they can get rid of Netanyahu. Even Chuck E. Schumer wants to get rid of Netanyahu now. Let's hope that they can bring some guy in who understands that it's better to talk and to get collaborate rather than killing women and children with F-16s.
On Rumble from J.J. Small, Dr. Jones, please explain what you mean by the end of conservatism. Isn't it the beginning of freedom?
The end of conservatism is a political movement that came into being after World War II as a replacement for America First, which is the genuine American conservatism. The conservatism of Lindbergh and Henry Ford and Father Coughlin that wanted to keep America out of World War II. Okay, I know that one of the guys who created it was Henry Regner. He was an old man when I met him, very kind to me. And he was the man who published God and Man at Yale by William F. Buckley, who then founded National Review, and Russell Kirk, who did The Conservative Mind. These are the pillar texts of conservatism. It was predicated on acceptance of a muscular foreign policy, anti-communist foreign policy after the war. Okay, that's all gone down the drain. There is no communism anymore. We have a totally different situation. It was predicated on the basically Judeo-Christian idea. The Jews and Christians can collaborate as Americans. Candace just proved it's not possible anymore. Please take the lesson that she taught us seriously. It is not possible to collaborate with Jews anymore. Conservatism of the Daily Wire was supposed to be, Baptist Coalition of Americas. Well, Ben Shapiro, because of his reaction to the genocide in Gaza, and because he fired Candace Owen, shows that collaboration is no longer possible. There is no via media that we can call conservatism. It's over. It's basically the people who accept Jewish hegemony over our culture versus the people who reject Jewish hegemony over our culture. That is the fundamental fault line in America now, and we have to take sides. It's that simple.
On Cozy, we have a question from Free Gaza, who asks, do you see parallels between Holy Week and the Gaza slaughter?
Of course. Of course. The innocent suffering is what's going on in Gaza right now. And the epitome of innocent suffering was Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. The same people, the people who killed Jesus Christ, now have a hideout that's the Simon Wiesenthal Center, where they're trying to control people like Candace Owen. These are the people who are running the genocide. The same people who killed Jesus Christ are now slaughtering Palestinians in Gaza because it's part of their plan. It's called the Talmud. And the Talmud says that that these are the goyim are subhuman, and they're acting on it. There are rabbis now, John Mearsheimer. No, it wasn't. It was Andrew Croak on I forget which show it was, but anyway, he's saying there are rabbis now who are preaching to the soldiers, saying that they have a duty to kill women and children, because that child is going to grow up to be a Palestinian who will attack a Jew, and that mother will give birth to a child who will grow up and be a threat to Jewish hegemony. This is the people who think this way have no right to have a government. They should be driven out of any government in the world, much less a government that they control, like the state of Israel. Israel has no right. The Zionist regime in Israel has no right to exist. The Zionist regime in Israel has no right to exist because of their flagrant disregard of the fundamentals of moral behavior, of the moral law.
Question from Christians Praying on Rumble. Is the CIA and Mossad the same?
No.
What's their connection?
Well, it depends on time. If you want an interesting gloss on this, watch Spielberg's movie Munich, which is set in 1972. And in that movie, the CIA is at odds with the Mossad. So there are people in the CIA, I think of Michael Scheuer, or other people like that. There's always been a group in the CIA who've been against this close connection with the Mossad. They're not in power. I don't know how many there are out there, but no, they're two separate organizations.
All right, Dr. Jones, it's a little bit past six. Want to have a few more here?
Yeah, let's have a few more.
All right. Let's see, from Rumble. Got Master Ox Cat. Do you think Daily Wire will see a decline in viewership from firing Owens?
Absolutely. They are completely discredited. They are not conservative. They are Zionist shills, and they've proven that. And they're going to go out of existence. No one in his right mind would take them seriously after what they've done.
From Too Thitty on Cozy, does your average Christian, when he says average Christian, no, I'm assuming United States. Does your average Christian in the United States know Israel has abortion throughout gestation funded by the state?
I have no idea what the average Christian knows. I'm afraid to ask. I'm afraid to ask.
Fair enough. Let's see. From St. Paul Enjoyer, what do you think about Pope Francis doubling down on the COVID jabs this week, even making fun of Cardinal Burke?
It's a colossal mistake. The church made a colossal mistake by not opposing COVID. It was a complete misunderstanding of the issue. I've said this before. I am going to blame the Dominicans on this because this is a classic example of ahistorical Thomism, where you start your argument with a concept called the vaccine. Well, wait a minute. You have to contextualize that historically by talking about Pfizer's mRNA vaccine. If you're not talking about that, you're not talking about reality. You're not a true son of Thomas Aquinas, because Aquinas said existence calls essence into being. You have to go to existence to form your categories. And that's precisely what did not happen with COVID. And the Pope was misguided enough to go along with it. So it's tragic. I'm sorry he did it.
And for some of the viewers who don't know, because I don't know, what did Pope Francis say about Cardinal Burke?
Cardinal Burke?
Well, yeah, the guy in the question, he says that Pope Francis was making fun of Cardinal Burke. Did you hear anything about that?
No, I didn't hear anything.
Okay, fair enough. Let's see. We got to have another one here somewhere. Let's see. We're kind of running a little bit low, but I am jumping around. Here's one, where'd it go? Okay, here we go. From WZ on Cozy, 10997 on Cozy. Does in your opinion, the movie, quote, Zone of Interest, add a new aspect to the Holocaust narrative.
Yeah, I haven't seen Zone of Interest. I know that the director gave a speech saying he's no longer a Jew. He divorced himself from the Jewish, Jewish whatever, ethnic group or faith or whatever, because of their behavior in Gaza. So I applaud him for that. But I can't comment on the movie because I haven't seen it.
All right. I'm kind of getting a little bit.
Okay, that's it. That we're over time anyway, so
we're good. Okay. Let's see. I'll do my little thing here and then we can close it up. Thanks again. This has been EMJ Live. We're here every Friday at 5, Rumble, Odyssey, Cozy, Telegram, what have you. Make sure to subscribe to Culture Wars Magazine at culturewars.com. All of Dr. Jones' books can be found and bought only at fidelitypress.org. Subscribe to Telegram, Cozy, those on Rumble, give us a thumbs up, wherever you can give us a thumbs up, subscribe, thumbs up, all that stuff. Quick announcement, I am planning on trying a Twitter space tomorrow, or not tomorrow, next week, next Friday, instead of Telegram. It's a little bit of a hassle to do it. I think I'll be able to pull it off. So if you guys on Telegram can be so kind to jump over on Twitter next week, if I get that going, keep an eye out for that. I think that will be the only change coming up here. And I have no more announcements. Dr. Jones, last words.
Logos is rising, and have a happy Holy Week.
See you guys next week. Bye-bye.